Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence in our worship, God. And we thank you, Father, that through our acts of praise, God, through our offering of praise and worship to you, Lord, that you are very present in our hearts. God, that you break through into us, God, into the core of everything that we are. God, and I pray that right now, Lord, that our hearts would be softened for you, God, and that we would allow your words, God, to teach and to change us, God, so that we might be a pleasing offering to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the past couple of weeks, Pastor Bill and I have been preaching on sin. And last week, we talked about the imminent threat that unconfessed, unacknowledged sin plays in our relationship with God. And we drew upon a couple of scriptures. And for me, some of the most profound ones were the Psalms of David in his cry that God would not take his Holy Spirit from him, or that he would not be cast from his presence because of the weight of the sin that he had committed. And today, I want to talk about not just acknowledging the sin that's dormant inside of us, but how do we prepare ourselves for that day that we go before the Lord. And I picked maybe a scripture that isn't very common. Not a lot of people like to read the Old Testament, especially Leviticus. And God gave me this scripture through the reading of Leviticus. When he inspired me to start reading this book, my response was, really? That's, to me, the most boring book I could ever possibly read. But then I was quickly humbled because there is so much rich material in Leviticus, and it just goes to show how rich God's Word truly is. So, we're in Leviticus, chapter 2, starting with the first verse. Now, this is the grain offering. Now, we know that in the Jewish tradition, there were tons of offerings to be made. But the grain offering, really, to me, it's so symbolic of who we are. And it's going to be explained through the reading of the grain offering. It says this: when someone brings a grain offering to the Lord, his offering is to be one of fine flour. He is to pour oil on it, put incense on it, and take it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priest shall take a handful of the fine flour and oil, together with all the incense, and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the offerings made to the Lord by fire. If you bring a grain offering baked in an oven, it is to consist of fine flour, cakes made without yeast, and mixed with oil, or wafers made without yeast and spread with oil. If your grain offering is prepared on a griddle, it is to be made of fine flour, mixed with oil and without yeast. Crumble it and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your grain offering is cooked in a pan, it is to be made of fine flour and oil. Bring the grain offering made of these things to the Lord. Present it to the priest, who shall take it to the altar. He shall take out the memorial portion from the grain offering and burn it on the altar as an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is the most holy part of the offerings made by the Lord by fire. Every grain offering you bring to the Lord must be made without yeast, for you are not to burn any yeast or honey in an offering made to the Lord by fire. You may bring them to the Lord as an offering of the first fruits, but they are not to be offered on the altar as a pleasing aroma. Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all of your offerings. If you bring a grain offering of the first fruits to the Lord, offer crushed heads of new grain roasted in the fire. Put oil and incense on it. It is a grain offering. The priest shall burn the memorial portion of the crushed grain and the oil together with all the incense as an offering made to the Lord by fire. Can somebody tell me how to make sense of that at all?
That's your
job. Thanks. It's amazing that God, who spoke to the prophets so many thousands of years ago, His words still ring so true to us today in how we apply God's teachings to our lives. The first ingredient in the grain offering is probably the hardest one. Let me explain something to you. When God was asking the Israelites to present a grain offering to Him, they were in the foot of Mount Zion, or Sinai, I'm sorry, Mount Sinai, in the desert. Does wheat grow in the desert? Does anything grow in the desert besides cactus? No, I don't think so. Now, the grain offering is a voluntary act of worship, okay, biblically. It's a recognition of God's goodness and provision, a devotion to God. Now, He asked them to take something that was so scarce, that was so hard to come by, right? They probably didn't go to another neighboring village or town that had the agricultural abilities to be able to produce grain. It's probably what they were carrying with them on their journey. And they probably didn't have much of it. So God was asking for them to use something that was very hard for them to possibly give up, because they wouldn't be able to come by it again for a while until they rested later on in Canaan. And it was very precious to them. It was hard for them to let go of it. But this is what He said. It was fine flour that was only to be used in the grain offering. Let me explain something to you. How many people here bake? Okay, fine flour. Okay, now, are there different kinds of flour? Okay. How do they produce fine flour? It's by constantly milling it, crushing it, right? Getting it to that consistency that's useful for baking the product that you want to bake. Okay? Now, fine flour takes tons of work to make. Nowadays, we have machinery that people just run the flour through in order to make it fine enough. But back then, they didn't have these machines to use. They used a mill and a grinding stone. And can you imagine the hours and hours and hours that it took for them to grind this grain into a fine enough flour to be able to use it for an offering that God called them to use? It took tremendous labor. Fine flour wasn't just easily accessible. This scarce commodity that God asked them to give up needed to be worked. It was through sweat and by the toil of their hands that these people created the first ingredient for their offering. Point number one. As offerings to the Lord ourselves, as people of God, it's going to take work to prepare ourselves to be pleasing to the Lord. It's not like we're packaged perfectly right off the shelf. There's things that are in our lives that we need to unveil to God. The hard work, the tough stuff, the things we don't want to get rid of, just like giving up the grain to God was tough for the Israelites because it was a scarce commodity. Now, when you make fine flour, the point of it is to get rid of the coarseness of the flour, is to prepare it, right, to smooth it out, to make it soft and bakeable. Just like us, if we have anything in us that is still coarse, anything in us that's not refined, anything in us that has not been yet ground and prepared for that offering, we need to let God come into our hearts and grind that out, to soften that flour so that it can be prepared to be baked for the offering to Him. The second element, oil. It says that the offerings were to be mixed, this offering was to be mixed with flour. Okay? So the oil was kind of molded in, or it was mixed in with the oil. And the word that they use in the Old Testament is Mishkayim, right? It's where we get the word Messiah. Okay? It means to be anointed with oil. The way they describe to do this in the original context, which is that they say the oil is to be mingled with the flour. To apply this procedure to our current lives, we would say that the oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit, is to be mingled into our lives, to be present in us for the purpose of anointing us in preparation of standing before the Lord. So we take the coarse stuff that was in our lives and we grind it down and we make it fine enough for baking. It's the work, it's the preparation, and then what happens? What comes in? The anointing of the Lord. When our lives are still coarse, when our lives are still rough, when there's still things that are dwelling inside of us that we're too stubborn to get rid of in our lives, that oil isn't going to bind the flour together right. Do we understand that? The Holy Spirit is that binding agent for those things inside of us that we ask God to crush for us, that we ask God to smooth out, to take away the coarseness in our hearts. Without the Holy Spirit, without the oil in the flour, what happens if you just cook the flour without oil? Burns. You got just a pile of burnt flour and nothing else. But the Holy Spirit makes it into something. It gives it consistency, gives it body. In preparation, in our second step of preparation, we ask the Lord, once He's ground out that coarseness in our lives, to deposit His Holy Spirit. We ask Him to anoint His person. We ask Him to come upon us, to dwell within us, to bind together that imperfect flour that makes up our being, to hold us together. After that, an unusual ingredient. I don't think any people that bake in here would ever put this in. But incense. The symbolic fragrance of our prayers, confessions, and praise that go before the Lord. The Old Testament use of the incense alludes to the idea that the fragrance of our previous offerings. Now don't forget, when you stepped into the Holy of Holies on the altar of burnt offering, there were other sacrifices that were made. And those aromas lingered. And stepping into the Holy of Holies probably didn't smell very good when you had slaughtered animals' remains on the altar. The aroma of the incense fills the tabernacle. It fills the Holy of Holies. It's a pleasing and sweet aroma when you walk in. We like that offering without the preparation of God, without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, might not smell very pleasing to God. The incense, our confessions, our praise, our submission, our acts of repentance, those go before the Lord and become a pleasing aroma. God delights in that. In our acts of preparation, through this process, we need to be on our knees before God in confession, like we said last week, about everything and anything in your life. Doesn't need to be that sin that's so apparent. It can be that underlying sin that's still there, that little character trait that maybe isn't very pleasing to God, that coarseness that isn't good enough to be baked into the offering. We want to become pleasing to God through our offering of our sin. The final ingredient that goes into our offering, it says, is the salt of the covenant. In Scripture, God uses salt as an analogy for who we are to be. He says that we are the salt of the earth, that we are to salt our conversations. He uses salt in these ways. The use of salt, obviously we know, it's a preservative. It's helped to keep things fresh longer. But the salt of God's covenant, okay, we understand, is His promise to us in His written word. By salting ourselves with His promise, we stand on the truth of who God is and what He wants to do in and through us. That God is a gracious and merciful God who desires that we come to Him as an offering, that He can be trusted with all that we have and all that we are. That He'll take great care in molding us and forming us. See, when we go through this process, and it's a big word, right? Bill obviously knows this word. It's called sanctification. The ongoing, never-ending process of God preparing us for that day that we go and stand before Him in eternity. The salt, standing on the promise of God, knowing who God is, knowing what His Word says about us when we go before Him honestly in repentance, in submission, in giving our lives and our hearts to Him, what He's going to do with that. God wants to take those things as an offering, take them away from us, and restore to us goodness. Give us His mercy and grace. Prepare us and make us a pleasing offering to Him. His Word preserves us. Step one, doing the hard work to prepare the grain that it might be soft for baking the offering. Two, submitting ourselves and asking the Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to mingle with us, with our beings, that He might hold us together. Three, being honest with our confessions, honest with our lives to the Lord, that we might be a pleasing aroma to Him. Four, standing on His promises that are in His Word and knowing what He says. Then, it says we're put in the fire. The ultimate testing of our character. We go in the fire to burn away impurities. It makes the offering edible. Otherwise, you're just eating a pile of oil with flour and salt, which probably doesn't taste too good. The burning away of the impurity within us, it's the most uncomfortable experience. It's the fleshing out of what's dormant within us. It's the bringing to reality, revealing to us those parts of our character and our nature that we need to get rid of, that God wants to remove. And sometimes that makes us squirm. But that's the fire. It burns away all of the impurity that makes us, as an offering, unedible. And in the instructions, God tells us to leave out the yeast. Hold the yeast. I'm Italian, right? So you guys can relate that when we go to a restaurant, the first thing we do is we go for the bread. Eat the whole basket. And the bread looks good. It's fluffy and it's fat, right? And it just, with olive oil, and it's just good stuff, right? And if somebody put matzah on my table, I would probably ask them what the heck they're doing. I wouldn't eat that. It's the only bread I wouldn't eat. The yeast looks good. It's the filler. It's what fattens the bread up. It makes it look edible and delectable and delightful to the senses. And men love it, right? We as human beings love that kind of bread, that fluffy, good bread. But God says to leave out the yeast that makes the bread look that way. Why? See, what's delightful to our eyes and delightful to our senses is all that thing, that stuff that puffs us up with sin. The things that look good. He says, leave out the yeast and the honey, right? He says, don't add honey. What's honey? Honey is that sweetness. It makes it taste good. So it's things that it's going to make it a little bit more delightful to our senses. Just like a lot of the garbage out there in the world that we fill our lives with that are delightful to the senses, but they're not good for God. Yeast, a little bit. You put it into the batch and it puffs up the entire loaf of bread. Looks good. Lies dormant in the bread. Nobody would ever say that it's not a good thing. But yeast is also fungal. Do we know that? Yeast will create and cause mold in the bread. Now, even though the bread looks great for a while, looks real nice, real tasty, all of a sudden a little spot shows up. Then another spot shows up. And before you know it, that loaf of bread is inedible. The yeast that lies dormant in us, the sin, starts showing up in little ways. A little spot here and a little spot there. And before you know it, the whole offering is corrupted. Now, the next part, that you really can't read it in the scripture unless you're reading it in the Hebrew, which makes it beautiful, is that when we present the offering to the Lord, the word that's hidden in it is that we approach the Lord when we present the offering. When you went to the Holy of Holies and the presence of God was there, you approached the very presence of the God of Israel. That's intimidating, is it not? Can you imagine if you left out an ingredient? You know, you're probably asking Aaron, be like, man, did I put the salt in that before I went in there? We approach the very presence of God as His offering. And it says that the elements, the grain offering is broken into pieces when it's offered on the altar before God. With our lives, with our sin, with our acts of confession and repentance, with all that we are in our heart of hearts, are we approaching the altar of God with our offering? Are we approaching the altar of God broken? Meaning, are we, like in the song, undone before God Almighty, that He might be able to work on it in us? That He might be able to prepare us to take those ingredients that we've poured into the offering, mold them together and bake them into that very offering that He wants us to be. Are we presenting ourselves properly before the Lord? I want us to take a moment of silence. For my prayer, it is, God, what have I added to the recipe in my life that's not pleasing to You? It's, God, what are the ingredients of the recipe that I'm leaving out? God, prepare my heart. God, burn away with that fire any impurity. God, prepare me to be a pleasing aroma to You. Let me be satisfying to Your stomach. Thank You, Father, that You reveal truth to Your children, God, when we seek Your truth. God, I pray for myself and for everybody, God, that we would, as Your faithful servants, Lord, allow You to come in and prepare the flour in our hearts, God, for Your offering. God, that we would be inviting of the presence and the anointing of Your Holy Spirit within us. God, that we would be a pleasing aroma on Your altar. God, that we would stand on Your promises of Your covenant with us, Lord. Your covenant of grace. God, I pray that we would be broken before You. God, that we would be honest and open about who we are, God, and about who we truly desire to be for You. God, help us to be that offering before You, God, that is uncorrupted, that is purified, God, and that is pleasing for You. In Jesus' name I pray.